is a question. Of course, they say when a person eats Erev Kippur, he should eat light food. Correct? We said that? Why? Well, for two reasons. One reason, a person eats a lot, becomes satisfied, as a big shot. He kicks around. But he has to be covered rosh, really very serious and sincere. That's why he eats light food. Of course, also, that warms the body and might come to tumah. The question is, can a person cook food and put it on the fire, put it in the oven, and leave it for Motzei Kippur? He puts it Erev Kippur for Motzei Kippur. He's not going to use it on Kippur. Could he do that or not? The halacha is mutar. They call, in Arabic they call Bayet, Hamin. They put something, food, usually in our homes on Earth, right? We never took food from that to warm it on a blecher or anything. They put the food over the fire the whole time. The low fire. They put it from Arab Shabbat till noon time. When comes the time, they take it and they use it. But here, it's a different thing altogether. Here there is something very good. Crock pot, they call it. This a person can put Friday, but that's what I thought to do in my house. I bought it, my wife didn't want it. She said she doesn't like the taste of it. It tastes excellent, just like regular. I told her, you have to learn how to make it. She got annoyed. The truth is, you have to learn how. Some people, they put water to the top and they leave it. It comes exactly noontime Shabbat. Excellent. And this doesn't burn. We'll get dry finish. The crock pot is very good for that. We did it for a few times. Then she didn't want. I don't argue. Anyhow, we spoke about lighting candles. Do we have to light candles for Kippur? Why?
Yom Kippur.
Why do we light candles on Shabbat? Why do we light candles on Shabbat?
To see the food.
Lighting candles for the meal.
For the meal.
There's no meal on Kippur. How can you come and say yes?
I guess I'm wrong.
You guess. But you don't know that you're wrong.
You talked about this last time, about Noah had the light so they could see the woman to stay away from the woman.
They can't.
No?
Also they can't, also if they see, then they could be tempted. So it's two opinions.
But then, there were two different customs. Some they said, it's good to have light. Some say, no, it's better not to have a light. The argument, as he said, because a man is not supposed to be with his wife Kippur. That's one of the things that's forbidden. What is Kippur Asur? Five things. Eating and drinking, then washing, applying any kind of lotions or anything on the body, shoes, and being with the wife. Now, what's more makes a person be with his wife? When it is there is light or there is no light? That's the question. Some they say, look, of course when there is no light, because when there is light, there's not allowed to be with his wife. And therefore, when there is no light, he is going to do it. Some say the opposite. When there is light, he's more tempted. He sees her. That's why somebody said to have candles and said not to have candles. And this is the what Shulchan Aruch said. There are two different customs. Everybody should follow. But today we know all Israel, they put. And one thing they all agree, if Kippur comes on Shabbat like this year, they have to light candles for the sake of Shabbat.
An extra one for Kippur or just the two for Shabbat?
No, they do one, but they say beracha for both. Mm-hmm. Shabbat Shalom Kippurim.
But now once you say the one beracha, you say the beracha for Kippur, then you say beracha for Shabbat and you light the candles?
No.
You say Shabbat and Kippur?
You say one beracha together or no?
You say one beracha together. That dinner shall Shabbat be shall Yom Kippurim. One beracha for both. There is a custom among some people that they wear white for Kippur. Why? White is a symbol of purity. They say the angels are white. The good angels are white. The bad angels are black. You know that?
Yeah.
I'm surprised at you. You always tell me even in this world, not angels. The bad ones are the black. You always tell me. You're accustomed to them. You know them very well. Okay. Kippur, the night and the day are the same. Law applies. Not like other Tanit, only during the day. But this is including the night. Every melacha that's forbidden on Shabbat is forbidden on Kippur. The difference is between Shabbat and Kippur, the penalty. Penalty of Shabbat is sekila, and penalty of Kippur, karet. Hand of God. Bedin do not execute it. On Shabbat there is execution by Bedin, but Kippur there is no execution by Bedin. Only the Torah said that Kadosh Baruch Hu will make sure that this one won't live long. How about carrying on Kippur? Malacha is forbidden, just like Shabbat, even though there is two different opinions in the Gemara. But halacha is forbidden exactly the same. The only thing, they're permitted on Kippur to do something, to clean vegetables in the afternoon. The women, they start already preparing the vegetables for Matzah Kippur, even though usually they don't allow, but this they permitted them. When? In the afternoon, the day they don't do it. Originally they permitted in the Gemara, but today they don't do it, because today they can prepare it from the day before. We are living in a time that there is everything, freezers, frigidaires, but those days they didn't have that.
How come they can carry and they blow the shofar right with, at the end of Kippur? And I thought it's, you're not supposed to blow the shofar on a day where you can't carry.
They don't blow shofar on Kippur.
They don't blow when it's over?
They can blowing of shofar is not melacha. It's not one of the melachot.
No, but someone might carry the shofar to shul to blow it.
No. There's no Hillul Shabbat if you blow
but
shofar.
If you carry, but like on Rosh Hashanah, you will not carry, blow
they said the not to blow shofar because he may carry it in case Rosh Hashanah comes on Shabbat.
So why are you allowed to blow it on Yom Kippur?
Because they worry of the Shabbat. You say why? Because it's not melacha. It's permitted. It's not melacha.
They might carry it. They might carry it on Yom Kippur.
They might carry it Kippur when Kippur comes on Shabbat.
What about when Kippur doesn't come on Shabbat? You're not allowed to carry on Kippur.
Kippur doesn't come on Shabbat.
What if when Kippur does not come on Shabbat?
Because sometimes Kippur comes on Shabbat, they worry about everything. They would say, you see, last Kippur was permitted. They will come to do Kippur that comes on Shabbat too.
But they do blow the shofar on Kippur, right before it's over, it's still Kippur.
No, you see, Kippur is permitted.
To blow it?
To blow.
But not to carry it?
That's right. Because you don't have to worry about it, because the carrying is when?
Before you blow.
During the day we're talking.
Right.
But blowing of Shofar Kippur, they don't blow on Kippur.
It's just at the very end.
The day is over.
Day is over.
Because it's over already.
Not like Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah you blow in the middle of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Only once in every 50 years, they blew Shofar on Kippur exactly like Rosh Hashanah. In the morning.
What is that?
Shemit.
Yovel.
Uh-huh.
When there was a Yovel, not now.
Mm-hmm.
When there was Sanhedrin, there was Beit HaMikdash. The Sanhedrin, they blew Shofar as a symbol for the people to free the slaves and that the land goes back to their original owner.
Mm-hmm.
They never sold the land forever. Only till the Yovel. The year of the Yovel has the exact law of the Rosh Hashanah. So they have to blow Shofar on Kippur
mm-hmm.
in the morning. But every year there is no blowing of Shofar on Kippur. This is what we blow only to show a signal to the people that day is over.
Uh-huh.
That's the whole idea.
And you're allowed to work on Kippur?
Huh?
You're allowed to work?
You are allowed to?
Work.
Work?
When?
Kippur.
Kippur? You want to work on Kippur too?
I asked the question because I heard a rumor that somebody found a loophole and they have their business open on Kippur.
Shema Asa.
They don't work.
Worse than Shabbat.
The people don't work, but the business is open.
No. It's worse than Shabbat. Biggest Hillul Hashem, even among Goyim.
Okay.
The Goyim know their day they don't open. These Jewish people. The Goyim understand Kippur, you know. Something, they close. The Goyim close on Kippur now. You know that.
I wouldn't work on Kippur. Well, I heard this a few days ago. They found a loophole and they were. That's what I heard. They found a loophole.
They have a contract?
They found a loophole or they found a hole?
Yeah,
found
a contract.
A hole, I think.
I don't know what
to fall into the hole.
They said they were open last year for the first time.
They were open?
Last year for the first time.
And because of that, it became permitted?
No. I never heard of a loophole.
And if you would hear a loophole, you would okay it?
No, I wouldn't okay it.
Baruch Hashem. It's good that you came into the conclusion that you shouldn't even repeat it, to say such a thing. I'm surprised a man like you, after learning Torah so much, and you are saying that.
I'm just saying it for the benefit of the people.
The biggest Hillul Hashem. Those people that they told you should condemn them, that they tell you it's permitted.
Have you heard of such a case?
That there is a loophole?
That someone opened up their business on Kippur?
No, that I was told, you know. If there is a Shemireya, but definitely this is already not a Jew. I don't know where do you get your news. You know the story of the Amidah? You remember?
Oh,
yeah. Rabbi taught his students that they are not allowed to open their eyes during the Amidah or to look at the book only or their eyes closed. So one of the students came to the Rabbi, his eyes were open during the Amidah. Right away the rabbi slapped his face. So he opened and I
how did you
get
know?
A meeting. The rabbi said, how did you know he opened his eyes in the Amidah? If your eyes were closed. Okay? If you say
that doesn't mean that
you testify that
doesn't
coming.
Mean that I opened on Kippur, Rabbi.
If you testify somebody else opened.
I didn't testify anything. All I said was that I heard someone did it. And
you shouldn't believe in it.
People.
You shouldn't believe in such a thing.
That's why I'm asking you.
Don't believe only if you see.
That's why I'm asking you.
But you say they found a loophole. You already know to be material. You want to bring the Heter to the people.
I just repeated it without the way I heard it.
Everything you hear, you want to repeat? That's what they say, Lashon Hara, then.
I don't think it's Lashon Hara.
If you hear Lashon Hara, you're supposed to repeat?
No.
That's the same thing. Huh?
I don't think so.
You don't agree with me? No, huh? You're a tzaddik. According to the Torah, you cannot eat on Kippur, but the penalty that the Torah gives is kichol nefesh asher lo ta'uneh ba'etzem azeh v'nichreta, correct? There isn't only if you eat certain amount. That's called achila. How much is that amount? There is a shi'ur to it. Something, they call it like temara, size of date. Date usually are bigger than olive. And everything we say, something taref, person is to give him malkut if he ate an ounce. Not an ounce, there's no malkut, but it's forbidden. But they don't give that penalty of malkut. On Kippur, the karet comes if it's size of date. Because of that, when comes somebody that can't fast, we tell him not to eat a lot at once. Eat a little, and then wait. He waits so many minutes, then he needs more, he eats a little more. With little by little, if there is no possibility, very, very dangerous, a different thing. To save life. A person who does not feel well and he has to eat because otherwise he will be in danger. We tell him to eat little by little. Same thing with drink. Is that clear? Suppose he eats an apple and he eats an orange and there is no sugar in the apple and there is no sugar in the orange. He's permitted to eat. A little of this, little of this, little of this. As long as he eats that amount, the size of a day, even if he eats half from this, it's considered as one. You understand me? Okay. There is, they say, eating, there is a time. From the beginning of your eating till the end, if you ate it within such a time, that's called eating. More than that time, it's not called you ate. What is that time? They call it in Hebrew, achilat peras. A meal. In the old time, they used to know what's called a full meal. If you eat food solid, in the amount of 6 eggs, which is 6 eggs, how many ounces? We told you many times, an egg has 2 ounces, always. 2 kazait. The kazait is half of an egg. Therefore, there is 2 opinions among the Rishonim, Rashi and Harambam. Rashi said, if there is 8 betzim, it's called a meal. Harambam said 6 called a meal. And when they say half of a meal, what is it? According to Harambam, 3 eggs. According to Rashi, 4 eggs, which is, Harambam said 6 ounces, is called already half of a meal. And the Rashi said, no, 8 ounces. This has to do not only with Kippur. Listen to something, it's a rule, something new that I'll tell you. You eat something to say Berakha Ahrona. If you eat the meal within short time, you have to say Barakha Havana. But if you eat it little by little, long time, you stop in between, there is no Barakha Havana. Same thing with water. You take water, you eat 3 ounces, you drink 3 ounces at once, you say Barakha Havana. You drink a little and you leave it. Drink a little and you leave it. That's why we don't say Barakha Havana on tea and coffee. Why? Because we drink it little by little. And there is long time lapse from the time the beginning you start drinking till the end. And therefore, this is what we say, achilat peras. Peras means half of a meal. If you eat it within the time that you eat half of a meal, al-Hakamim already made exactly the timing for it. Long ago, they used to say, average man, how long takes him to eat 3 eggs? Or according to Rashi, 4 eggs. But today, already the Hakamim went, they tried it, and they came to a conclusion. Some rabbis, they say, 8 minutes. Some rabbis, they said, 10. Some rabbis, they said, 4 minutes. Everything we do, l'humra, which means when comes a person to eat, we tell him, eat quick within 4 minutes, in order to say Barakha Havana. Person comes Kippur, tell him, wait 8-10 minutes, l'humra, to be this. You eat a little and you wait. Sick man, and to wait that long. This is what we do today. We tell them to wait. If eating or drinking, no difference. But of course, doesn't mean if there is no penalty of karet, it's permitted. It's not permitted even drop to have on Kippur.
Rabbi, which is worse?
Yeah.
More, which is heavier?
What?
Eating on Kippur or eating hametz on Pesach?
Both the same. Both the same. Same karet. Both the same. The only thing in Pesach there is, besides karet, there is lav and mitzvah asim. And Kippur also has lav and mitzvah asim. Violating, besides the penalty of karet, violating 2 laws. In Pesach, he is violating 2 laws. Do you understand? What are the 2 laws?
Don't have hametz.
So I say not to have hametz.
And you have to eat matzah.
And you have to burn the hametz to get rid of it. Okay. Then, he's not allowed to wash person himself on Kippur. No matter what kind of water, warm, cold, even cold. Even Netilah, they don't do the same. Usually Netilah till the wrist, but on Kippur, till the knuckle. Why? Because there's a mahloket Netilah where it should be, often every day. If it is only till here, or to here. Of course, we restrict ourselves, we do it till the wrist. But comes Kippur, say no, till the knuckle, no more. The humra is to show that you die. Person comes and says, but my eyes from sleeping, I wouldn't wash. They allowed him, when he washes his hand, but it's wet a lot of them, to move it over his eyes. Not a real washing, but he does move his wet hands on his eyes. This is the Netilah. And he said Berakha Netilah. There is one Berakha we don't say on Kippur and Bechot HaShachar. Which Berakha we don't say?
Chenu.
Huh? Chenu, Kol Tzuki. Very good. Because that Berakha Sha'asali Kol Tzuki was set for what? For the shoes. When a person puts shoes, leather shoes, his feet are rested, more comfortable. I don't know, you feel comfortable with different thing, with sneakers, not me.
And the sneakers today are leather, that's
huh?
The sneakers today, a lot of them are leather.
Today, but there is all kind of shoes.
Now they're switched, you have to change it.
He provides the people with special kind of shoes on Kippur, just for the mitzvah of it. Correct? You give them shoes without leather. He gives to them even for free.
What's the address of?
There is one man, Moroccan. He goes to somebody who has my old tape, not from these new sets of Tehillim. You remember I used to have tapes that I did fast?
Yeah.
He goes, he buys them. He buys them and he goes to the hospital, to the sick people. He gives it to them, he tells them to listen to Tehillim. When they are sick, they can't read the Kana. He gives it to them. I didn't know only them yesterday. Somebody, his name is Solomon. I asked, who is this man? He goes to a man that has the tapes and he does make copies for him. Comes, he buys one after another. Every time he goes to visit someone in the hospital, and he gives it to him. That, to be mezakeh, the rabbim. That he said, he's in the hospital, they wasted time. This way he let them hear it. And does it for the mitzvah. That's why I said, maybe you do the same thing.
Yeah, really.
Anyhow, as we said, if a person comes to wash, he cannot wash. How about if a person got dirty, his hands? He touched something, mud or something, got dirty. He's allowed to. If the idea only not for his pleasure, only for to remove the dirt from his part of his body, is permitted.
Soap and water, only water.
What?
Soap and water.
Soap?
Water, what?
He's allowed to use soap.
Soap and water?
Soap has nothing to do with this question. Soap, are you allowed to use on Shabbat or not?
Soap?
Soap. Are you allowed to use soap on Shabbat?
Liquid soap.
Huh?
Liquid soap.
Liquid soap. And soap you decided no?
No.
It's not allowed. Bravo.
Is he right or not?
Is it tzaddik, this one?
Is he right? I mean,
the soap, most of people don't use it. But there is one book said that the soap is permitted to do it on Shabbat. Oh, in Eretz Yisrael, they really get out of here. But the Syrian people were making it easier on the people with soap. There is a book called Bahag Yitzhak. They said it's permitted, but all rabbis forbid it. And they don't use soap, only, as you said, liquid. Very good. The soap. That's what they do on Shabbat. Then the same law would apply Kippur. If it's not allowed on Shabbat, not allowed on Kippur. If it's allowed on Shabbat, it's allowed on Kippur. Do you understand? Okay.
If a person is not going to wear leather shoes on another day, not on Kippur, he still says the beracha as if he's wearing leather shoes, no? Shasali goes, Mosurki, right?
But if he is...
If he's going to wear non-leather shoes, would that be a reason not to say the beracha?
No.
He still should say the beracha.
That's what they call in Shahan Aruch said, an min hagosh al-olam nitkan. They said it, what is the custom of the people in the world, not for the individual.
Mm-hmm. Even Aver would say it.
That's right. That's when I say for what the people in the world they do, they don't mean goyim, I mean Jews.
Sure.
All of them. Mm-hmm. That's why in Kippur that every Jew is not supposed to have shoes. We don't say the Baruch HaShem Sadi Kotzik. But if you come to the person telling me, he is putting a shoe, he's doing wrong. Doesn't mean it's right for him to say Shasari Kotsuki. According to because when I say a person should not wash his hands only in the morning in the Tilam, if he goes to the bathroom, does he wash or not? He does. Same thing.
The same way.
That's called dirty.
The same way, only up to the knuckle?
Till the knuckle. Very good. Sometimes a person will tell you, listen, I can't go to shul and pray and pass for a female and say, I'm dirty. He's such a spoiled person who, if he doesn't wash his face, it feels like there's a layer of dirt over his face. Then they permitted him also to take a little water to go around with his face. But only special people. But people, common men like us, like you and me, surely we shouldn't. We're common people. Only special people that are so delicate. We're not so delicate. Maybe you, but...
Nothing bothered me.
Very good. Sometimes they permitted a person to go into the water. Go walk into the water and go on Kippur. A person has to cross water to go to his rabbi, to learn Torah. This is true.
Swim across the river.
He found a way how to go into the water. Okay. Some people used to go to Tevila every day. They come to ask questions, could they go on Kippur in the morning to Tevila? I told them, of course not. I said, Rabbi, something happened to him. He became Tameh during the night. Still we tell him, you can pray without going to Tevila. We do not allow them to go to Tevila on no mikveh on Kippur.
If a person wants to go to mikveh in the morning before Kippur.
Before Kippur?
No, in the morning.
Ahead of Kippur.
Ahead of Kippur. What's the best time? Before Selichot? At 5 o'clock? Or after the
best time
after
is before afternoon.
The afternoon?
Yeah.
When you get ready.
People don't like it today. When they go to the mikveh, already the water is not clean enough.
I mean, who has time in the afternoon?
If you don't go to work.
You come early.
Come early.
Don't you know Kippur, you pray Mincha very early and you come early?
Yeah, I know.
Maybe you don't. But everybody leaves Kippur in noontime. All close, even Goyim they close. Goyim they close 2 o'clock. The Jews they close 12. If they're... The Goyim who are worse than the Goyim, they close later.
Now, let's say you can't go in the afternoon.
Huh?
Can't go in the afternoon. Which is better, before Selichot?
And yeah, Kippur and Shabbat. Then you come out of Shabbat earlier.
Yeah, but I'm saying, if he has the opportunity to go in the morning.
It's easier.
They go in the morning today.
Before Selichot? Or after?
No, after. After the prayer. You have Selichot, you pray, and you go. If a person, impossible for him to go, he will go before. But better, the later the better it is. That's why I told you Kippur afternoon. To be closer to the Kippur, I have Kippur afternoon.
Does he take a shower or no?
When? After you dip.
Yeah. It's a lot. For a woman, did not allow that. But man, you're allowed. Little children are permitted with all these things that's forbidden for them. But shoes, they should just train them to get this, they reach a certain age, to train them to be. Especially they train them with food also. they're accustomed to eat 8 o'clock in the morning. So they lay them sometimes. If they're a little older, 11. A little older, that's why. Well, if he's 12 already, 12 years of age, okay. Living at 12. That means they already training them in order to come to the Tanit. Today, the funny thing with there is, children, they want to fast more than the men. The men don't want to fast. They find a way how to get rid of it. And the children, they fight you if you give them food to eat. No, I want to fast. This is nature of man. You tell him you are not allowed to do, he wants to do. You are allowed? No, he doesn't want to do.
Before the age of 13 is not allowed. Before the bar mitzvah is not allowed.
13, definitely. But they say, Chachamim said they should train them already from 12. But today people are very, very weak. Not as strong as generations before us. But some individuals, they are strong. But not everyone. Therefore, children today, they advise not to let them fast the whole day. But if you can convince them to not to fast, the children, all they run to fast. They wouldn't eat already
3 o'clock.
Impossible for them to continue. But a person should not impose on children. Of course, also they do try to. A pregnant woman or nursing woman still should try to fast on Kippur. That's the only fast that they tell them, try to fast. Sometimes a woman pregnant, all of a sudden, she smells some food. Ooh, she might say. She gets tempted, she suffers a lot, she doesn't eat. She starts to scream and that. What they do? They go to her ear, they whisper, today is Kippur. Because the Gemara said that there were two pregnant women, that they were screaming and everything. The rabbis said, go whisper on their ears. One of them, they whispered, she comes down, she said, the other one, continues screaming. The rabbi said, give her a little, not much to eat, and let her wait so many minutes, and if you still, she's not satisfied, give her again. But he told her, I'm sure that the first one, the child will be something in the Jewish nation. And the other one, you can imagine what's coming. What happened? The first woman, the child came. His name was Rabbi Yohanan, one of the greatest leaders of the Jewish people. And the second one was the head of a gangster group, like mafia today. He was the head of the mafia. What proves? He was during pregnancy, if a woman is careful where to be, where is she going, what atmosphere, what does she hear, what does she see, going to affect her child. Today doctors tell you what she consumes. If she will take alcohol, if she's alcoholic, then the child will, it will damage the child too. That's physically. But say mentally too, the child is going to be affected by whatever the mother sees or hears. Imagine how important the woman to be careful during pregnancy. The Seban, the mother of Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananiah, when she was pregnant, she went and she sat in the houses of learning to on the balcony. From morning to evening, everybody was asking her, lady, what are you doing here? I want my child to listen to words of wisdom. They looked at her like crazy. The child was born, she put him in the cradle and she put him there. I want him to listen to the words of wisdom. When he grew up, he became the smartest man on earth in his generation, and up to this generation too. And he was born at the time that Roman Empire was in power. And this is the time that came the Gentiles had their religion. And all of a sudden, when you go up, they were demanding, the Goyim were demanding from the Jewish people to send their representative to argue about religion with all those who, the big scholars of the Goyim, all the priests, they come. And who was selected to be Yeshua ben Hananiah? And he went to argue with them. He asked questions they couldn't answer. They asked him questions, he answered. Nothing, they could not win with him. He was always the winner, and they envied him, they wanted to kill him. They didn't succeed. That's Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananiah. That's why the Mishnah said, Ashrei Yolado. Fortunate Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananiah to have such a mother that he had. Since his mother was the cause to make him the smartest man. Why? By sitting over there during her pregnancy. And when he was born, she put him there in the cradle. It shows you what the child is doing, or what the mother is doing during pregnancy, going to affect the child later on. His character, everything. That's important. Always Rabbi Kassian is telling him, be careful when the child is born, where to put him. Because whatever he sees, whatever he is going to affect his future character. I told Rabbi Kassian many times, allow me, Rabbi, to add to it. Not from the time the child is born, from the time the mother gets pregnant. What she sees, what she hears is going to affect it. From the story of the Talmud, we know. The Talmud gives us stories about it. Which means, pregnant woman sometimes, she feels hungry. Because she feels herself, she carries the child. Therefore, even if a doctor will come and say, she doesn't eat, don't believe her. She's okay. We don't listen to the doctor. He can't feel what she is feeling. No. This is how important it is, the sick man himself, what does he feel about himself? If he says, I have to eat because I feel myself, I'm going to faint and that. They take it seriously. But if a doctor says she has to, she says, no, I don't have to. We listen to the doctor. You understand? Because they know more than her about such condition that she can. But to say what I feel, they can't feel what she feels. That's why in feeling, she is more correct. This is Hadachan Shalaluf, that they have to whisper in her ear, in case she yelled at that. They took it from the Gemara. If a person, he smells some kind of food, all of a sudden he becomes dizzy, he's going to faint, then it becomes dangerous for him not to feed him. Then they feed him. That's a question of life. When there is pikuach nefesh, they do try to save his life. It's not some surprise. It is so. A woman gives birth. The first 3 days, she is not allowed to fast. Not allowed. Even if she wants, she says, no, I can't. But I don't know. The halacha is, she is not allowed to fast. I had a man in our community. The wife came and was crying. Rabbi, my husband doesn't want to eat. It was Kippur. And he is very sick and heart problems. And the doctor said he must eat. We prayed, I finished myself quick, and I went to his house to visit him. Hello, how are you? He was very weak already. Hot troubles. I told her, what? Bring a glass of milk here. I want Mr. So-and-so to have the milk. No, it's okay, I'm okay. I said, I told her to bring a glass of milk. You don't want to drink? Bring two. Bring one for me. I said, if you don't drink, I'm drinking for you. If I'm making Avon, Avon's not mine, it's yours. But I'm going to drink. No, please, Chacham, don't. I said, no. You have to drink. If you drink, I won't drink. If you don't drink, I will drink. I said, okay, Rabbi, I'll drink. I waited till he drank the glass of milk, then I walked out. I went back for Minha. That's what I did between Musaf and Minha. And they have to understand. The books bring a story of a rabbi, all large community. There was a plague of contagious sickness and cholera, they call it. And if a person doesn't eat, very, very dangerous. The rabbi prepared already food. The other shamash, when I give you a signal, you bring the food to the table on the shul. Sure enough, the Brenda Rabbi made a speech. They said, I say, gentlemen, everyone must take the food and eat. Nobody moves. Nobody says, I'll eat. Kippur. They don't want to move. I said, everybody should eat. Say, Beracha and eat. They don't move. The Rabbi said, okay. He took their dog. Baruch Ata. And said, Beracha, boy, my name is Onat. Started eating. Everybody, the rabbi is eating. They just ran to eat.
We have no kiddush, right,
Rabbi? Huh?
No kiddush.
No kiddush? Who told you he didn't make kiddush? Because he made kiddush.
We said he made Beracha, that's it.
So I didn't say which Beracha. Beracha of the kiddush, Beracha of the... He made the Beracha, that's it.